I'm Robin. I'm the lead pastor here. Welcome to Eastlake, and welcome if you're watching online. We started Eastlake Church so there'd be somewhere where everyone could attend church, because everyone, at some point in your life, you believe something, only to find out later that it's not true. And today we're going to start a series called True-ish, and we're going to look at different types of popular statements, different things that it's easy to believe and think that they're true, but how true are they? Statements like, everything happens for a reason. Or I can do whatever I want as long as I don't hurt anybody else. Or God helps those that help themselves. And how true are those statements? Are they true or are they only true-ish? We form expectations in life based on what we believe. And then we hope for something in the future. And if it doesn't happen, I'm disappointed. And I get angry. And it only takes one false belief to be angry. And once you're angry about something, a friend of mine is a PhD. He's doing a research project. He teaches up at the University of Utah. And he's doing a research project on road rage. And so he's studying different people who have had these incidents, and they're the ragers. And what he's finding out is that they were angry before the traffic incident ever happened. And really, instead of the traffic incident causing them to be angry, it's actually an opportunity for them to release being angry. It only takes one disappointment in life. I believe something, and I turn out it's not true. And I wanted to kind of show this as an example. So just think in your mind, I want to kind of put this in this context. There's different types of eaters in the world, so you can kind of see what kind of eater you are. Maybe you're a planned eater. So whenever you go to a restaurant or you get your food, you sort of approach your meal with a plan. You know, maybe you're the type of person that you eat everything sort of like in some kind of a pattern. You know, or maybe you're the kind of person you eat all of one thing and then you move to the next thing. And now you see the people that are just eaters and you think we're slobs. It's like, how could you just like do that? You know, or here's a way that some people do it. I don't know if you're a sectional eater. Because if you are, you would love for me to give you this after the service, because this is awesome for you, because you don't want any of your food to ever touch on your plate. You like to all put it aside like this and never match it, and you get it all sectioned off like this, and you're a sectional eater. Even at like a huge buffet, you get the large plate so you can put everything off in its corners, and nothing touches anything, and you're sick that way, and that's like the way you have to eat, you know? And it would be nice. Sometimes we believe that life is like sort of the sectional eaters, that you can put everything off in its little categories, and if I get angry about something, if I believe something and it turns out not to be true and I get angry about it, but I can just put it off in a little section over here and it doesn't touch any other area of my life. But here's the problem. Life is really more like this. It's more like a bowl, where everything goes inside and everything touches everything. And that's why the ragers, they don't get angry because something happened on the freeway. They're already angry. And they bring the anger to the incident, because life is like this bowl. It's nothing like this at all. You can eat like this, but you can't live like this. This is how we live. Now, this series is going to be talking about different things that we maybe think are true, but the question is, how true are they? Because here's something to consider. What you believe determines how you act. And it's the big idea this weekend. You can write it in your notes. What I believe determines how I act. The big idea, and let me read it to you, some part out of the Bible to give this credibility. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Then you'll learn God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. My wife works at Nordstrom's, and if you go to Nordstrom's, you can get a... besides like your whole paycheck being gone, if you go to Nordstrom's, you can get a personal like stylist to help you pick out all your clothes. So if you go to Nordstrom's, you can go in there and say, I'd like to have a personal stylist. And this is what they do. They take you all around the store, and even though it's your life, they pick out your clothes for you and tell you what looks good. They'll go all through the shoe department and all the different places. They'll pick out all your clothes for you and tell you what looks good. And then you get to pay for the clothes. And they're a personal stylist. And I want to ask you a question. Who helped you pick out your beliefs? Who is your personal stylist? Or maybe a long time ago, someone helped you pick out some beliefs, and they were your personal stylist, and they helped you pick out everything to believe, and they're not even in your life anymore, and you're still paying for those beliefs because they helped you fashion your life. And that's what this part of the Bible is saying. It says, don't be fashioned by the world, be conformed. Don't be fashioned by it. I know that this can come from families. There was one person in our family that they sort of had this proverb in our family that if anybody was overweight, it meant they were lazy. And so I just kind of grew up with that. And later in my life, I had to break that out of my belief system because I found out that it wasn't true. But they sort of saw life that way. So they styled us that way. Now, where I work at, one of my best friends at work, he's a big old hoss. He's a big guy, but he is the hardest worker of anybody on the team. And yet, when I was younger, I used to just automatically judge people. Oh, look at the size of them. They're lazy. And it was a wrong belief. Who helped you fashion your beliefs? Because it can happen in families. It can happen from friends, too. Here's a little proverb that my friends and I had in high school. All of us believed that if you were going to marry someone, well, of course you had to live with them first. I mean, that's ridiculous. And here's what we used to always say to each other. And this was just how we talked. We said, who would ever drive a car without test driving it? Of course, it wasn't until I was later in life and got married that I realized women aren't cars. But we believed that. And we lived it that way, and for a lot of my friends that grew up that tried it that way, it didn't work for them. Because they went into the relationship, the marriage relationship, always having a back door, because when you live with someone, there's not a commitment, and so that in their marriage, they had that back door. And the friends can shape your beliefs. I met a man this week. He's 84 years old. He went through the Depression. He was talking to me about his life. He lived up in Idaho. They were so poor when he grew up that before he got into high school, his father had to move the family 34 times. 34 times. And he was telling me what it's caused for him, and he calls himself cheap. A cheapskate. And what happened is his environment shaped him. And now as an amazed 84 years old, he thinks it's okay to be cheap. Because it fashioned his beliefs. Now, the Bible says that Jesus changes you by transforming who you are by the way you think. And let's take a look at the way it happens. Turn your notes right. Number one, you can find the truth. A series about different types of things we believe and how it sets us up to be angry. You can find the truth. Jesus has disciples, and they say to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the path? Jesus answers, I am the path, the truth, and the energy of life. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this occur to you. I brought a little example today. It's kind of like show and tell day. Sometimes in my life, it feels like I got the energy coming just fine between me and the Lord, and then something comes along, and it seems like it just sort of kinks it like this. And it's not that I don't have energy to live, but it just kind of feels like this right here. You can imagine if water's coming out of there, oh, that's coming out of there real nice now. And you just kind of go like this, and it just starts to slow down, slow, drip, drip, drip. And your energy just feels like it's just dripping away. It isn't like really flowing away. And in this particular part of the Bible, the disciples come to him, and they say to him, we don't know where you're going, so how would we know what path to be on? And isn't there a lot of different paths that you can choose today? In fact, here's one of the big sayings of the day. All paths lead to the same place. Is that true? Or is it a truism? And what they're saying to Jesus is, Jesus, since we don't know where you're going, how do we pick the path? Here's really what they're saying. Show us how it's going to turn out, and then I'll decide if it's the path for me. But there's only one path that has the energy, and I want to be on the Jesus path. The problem is you find Jesus with faith, and I want to control everything. I want to control my money. I want to control my time. I want to control what's right and wrong based on what's right and wrong for me. It's the way I'm picking my path. There's this one guy at work I just don't like. I just don't like him. I don't know if you have anybody at work you work with, and if you're honest about it, you just don't like him. And if you are Christian, you're a Christ follower, you have to admit those things. Just, I don't like this guy. And this particular guy, I don't like him. And a couple of weeks ago, did he get under my skin. he said something to me and I didn't like it, and you know, he just got under my skin. And then so for the next few days, I'm just walking around, bonk, dump, what did it hurt? I can't believe this, bonk, you know, and said punk like over and over. And like, I don't like working with this guy. And it's just mutter. And as I was doing it, I could feel the energy of life go out. And I wasn't really aware of it at first. And I was like, and then I was like, man, I don't feel like I got bounce in my step, and I'm kind of grumpy. I'm grumpy at home, and what's going on? So finally, I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, what's going on? I wasn't even thinking about the guy, by the way, because I'm thinking that I can live my life like this. See, what I do is I just, oh, this guy I like, and this guy I like, this guy over here, he sucks. Put him way over here. He's the bad guy. It'll keep him away. And so I'm thinking I can live like this, when in reality, I'm living like this, and I got this punk in my soup touching everything else, and the energy is going out. So I prayed and I said, Jesus, what's going on? And what's happened? Why is my energy so low? And the Lord said, it's your condescending attitude towards one of the people you work with. And of course, when I hear that from the Lord, I'm always like, are you talking to me, Lord? Did you mean it for that guy? Absolutely. Do you know that it takes a lot of energy to walk around for 2 weeks feeling you're superior to another person? That takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy to keep propping yourself up as the nicest, smartest, best person at work. Here's how you can tell if you're on the path or not. The energy of life. Do you have the energy of life? And I had to realize I did not have the energy of life. And so I had to go and get back on the path. Is there an attitude? Is there anything happening in your life? And the way to notice it is, I just don't think I have the energy. Because I understand we have kids and bills to pay and lots of stuff to do and all kinds of things. And stay up till 2 at night watching Star Trek at the new movie that came out. And there's lots of things that make us tired. But the truth is, if you're fatigued, you should consider, maybe I'm missing the energy of life. Maybe what's really happening is the connection between me and Jesus is a little kinked. It's not about being tired at all. The energy of life is missing because I'm not on the path. In this part of the Bible where it talks about this energy of life, if you'll become keen to understanding, do I have the energy or not? This one guy was going to throw a big sort of a bash for his friends, and so they went to a place in South America. He paid for everybody, and they all went down there. He was going to hike to this really cool place where they would see this village that it was kind of famous. But they hired a guide to get there, and about halfway through the journey to get there, he starts complaining. He's like, I can't even believe we hired this guy. Paid a lot of money for one guy to guide him. And as he's going along, he's like, this is the clearest marked path I've ever seen. What did we pay that guy all this money for? Grumble, 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 night after night, grumble, 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 until the day that they came up over a ledge right into a barren area and there was no trail at all. And he comes and he's looking around. He said, well, where's the road? Where's the path? How are we going to go? And the person, now that he'd hired, starts walking and looked over his shoulder and said, I am the road. And that's really what it's about with Jesus. Am I with him or not? Now, here's the second thing. Turn your notes over. You can follow the truth. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The light that leads to life. Here's the problem is a lot of times, here's a saying for you. This is the one I like when I sort of get cornered by something. I like to use this saying, oh, but it's a gray area. It's not really black or white. This is one of those times, but it's a gray area. Because in the gray area, I get to decide what goes on in the gray area. So I have like all this gray area, and then a little bit of light and a little bit of black over here. But all the gray area, because in the gray area, I get to decide. Because it's not really clear. There's this woman at work that she has a couple of children. And she started a couple months ago. And I don't even know her at all. I hardly know her name. Her name is Carrie. And that's about all. I haven't talked to her at all. And the other day, I had the first conversation really I've had with her. It's like a 90-second conversation. We were passing each other in the parking lot. And I thought, I'm going to say hello to her. I said, hey, what's up? How you doing? And she's like, the truth is, I'm really overwhelmed. And she said, I'm starting to get scared about this, if this is going to work. Now, I know that she has two kids. I know that she has a family. I know that she's a single mom. And just in that 90 seconds, I kind of connected with her. I thought, ooh, you know. Sometimes she can kind of be one of those girls that comes off, I'm all that. I've got it all together. But for just a moment, she let her guard down, and I could tell that she was scared. Now, later that day, some customers came into where I worked, and I started talking with them. It turns out they're going to buy this big, huge thing. I was like, you know, you're going to really make some money. I was like, whoo, it's going to be a good day, you know? So I'm working through all the paperwork, and everything's getting sale. And then just right in the middle of it, up pops her name in the computer. She had talked to him at some point. But here's the thing. When I asked them if they'd ever talked to anybody, they said no, and they had never worked with anybody in our company. And the rules are, if that happens, that's your customer. And there was a part of me, I don't know if your brain ever tries to convince your heart of something, because my heart, like, is remember our conversation earlier in the day. I'm overwhelmed and scared if I'm not going to work it out. But my brain had one of those little proverbs, yeah, but business is business. This isn't anything personal, Carrie. Business is business. This is money, girl. So that's my head talking to my heart. And you know, it was like a gray area. It's like, I don't have to give her this sale. I don't even have to tell anybody that it occurred. I am so home free. Everybody will back me. This is a gray area. And business is business. Is that true? Or true-ish? And as I sat there at my desk, and I looked across the table at this couple, and their kids are there, and they're going to buy all this stuff, and it's going to be a great day for me, I excused myself. And I said, hey, can just one sec. And I got over where anybody couldn't see me, and I called her. I said, hey, are you here? And, you know, the little party was hoping, well, I'll go this far, but hopefully she doesn't answer. Sure enough, she answers. Hi, how are you? Are you available? I sure am. I'm thinking, but business is business. This is a gray area. Just say, just checking, and hang up. But I didn't. Because you know what? Business isn't business. People are people. And she's scared. And she really, really needed that sale, man. So I said, hey, good news. Some customers came in, and they're here to work with you, and I'm all done, really, with them. I told them this, and they're going to buy it. They're all finished. And she's, and I, you know, it, sometimes when you find out what's really true, man, in that moment, there's such a freedom just to hear her say, really? I'll be right there. And I didn't resent that, because people are people. They trump business. Do they in your life? Or is it about money and business is business and it's all gray area, and then when you go to sleep at night, you just keep telling yourself until you fall asleep, and then you wake up in the morning with a pit in your stomach, business is business, business is business. And it doesn't work because it's not true. I got to see her come over and take him to her desk, and a few hours later, she delivered all the stuff, and I just kind of watched it all happen. And I thought, you know, I got to play just a little role, just a small one, and maybe her feeling like this is going to work out for me. Maybe I'm going to be able to support my family. Maybe this is going to work. And if she never, ever says anything to me and would never even become even work friends, it's okay, because people are people. And notice what it's saying here in the Bible. He's talking to people that are Christians. He's talking to Christ followers. He says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness if you follow me. Believers, conditional. I went and got a complete physical this year. And so I had to go to the doctor and get a complete physical. Another doctor said it's time for you to get a complete physical. And I don't know why they call it a complete physical. No one's ever told me you got to go get a partial physical. But anyways, I got to get a complete physical. So I don't like it. And so I went down to the doctor, and you have to get a complete physical. And so I had one a few years ago. I had a complete physical, and I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. And so I go back, and you have to do all this stuff for a complete physical, which we'll just leave right over there. But it's a lot of stuff. You know, you got to do all this stuff for a complete physical. And then once the physical is complete, it's not done. Because now you got to come back after about 3 weeks, and you got to get all the results of the complete physical. And so I'm waiting 3 weeks to hear back, oh, now you have your results in, and now I got to go back and get the results of the complete physical. And when I come in there, the doctor starts rattling off these events, and it's like deja vu. It's just like the last time I had the complete physical. And this was the part that was sort of amazing to me. He comes to the part where he says to me, and Robin, your cholesterol is a little high. Now, here's the backstory. The last time I had the complete physical, it was like the exact same thing. He went through, you're very healthy in this area and this, but Robin, your cholesterol's a little high. The first time, the doctor told me, your cholesterol's a little high. It's 191. I don't know anything about cholesterol. I'm thinking high numbers are better. I'm thinking, well, what should it be? Is that pretty good? He said, not that high. He said, what do you think's causing it? And I said, I don't know. And he asked me, what's your eating habits? And I said, well, I eat a lot of corn dogs at 7-Eleven, and I eat Haagen-Dazs ice cream at nighttime. And you know, I started telling him about my diet. He's like, I think I see the problem. So he gave me all kinds of things to do that would like help out with my cholesterol. He said, if you do these things, you'll bring your cholesterol. Now, here is the crazy freaking thing about it. So now I go get the complete physical. It's been a few years later. And do you know the one thing I couldn't wait to hear about was what my cholesterol level was? So I go in there and I'm waiting, yada, 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 yada. And he finally says, your cholesterol's a little high. Catch this out. This is years. Your cholesterol's 191. And I acted shocked. I'm like, 191? That's, And then I started thinking, well, I haven't done one thing since the last time I got my physical done. I didn't do any of the things the doctor told me to do. And I have the exact same cholesterol level that I had last time. Because last time the doctor said, now if you eat a lot of green vegetables, really, really green vegetables, like I hate those. And, you know, if you're willing to exercise 4 times a week, 1 hour a day, I hate exercising. He didn't say anything good at all. Oh, if you eat lots and lots and lots of bran. And I'm like, bran what? I don't even like raisin bran. And, you know, and I didn't do any of it. So when he said to me this time, you know, you could lower your cholesterol if, I just wanted to put my hand up and said, Doc, I ain't doing it. Save your breath. A lot of things in life come with conditions. And it says here that if you follow Jesus, you'll walk in the light. So the question is, are you following Jesus? If you follow Jesus, you'll know the truth. Not if I follow my parents, I'll know the truth, or if I follow my friends, or if I follow my boss, or if I follow money, or if I follow my wife, or if I follow my ex-wife, or if I follow my husband. No. If I follow Jesus, it's conditional. And so the question is, are you? Now here's the last thing. You can write in your notes the bottom line. You can obey the truth. So Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's not really about believing in Jesus. It's about obeying Jesus. He's talking to people that believe. He's asking if they obey. I have a sort of on and off again relationship with a sit-up machine at my house. So I went out a while back and I bought a sit-up machine. And in this machine, I don't know why I just didn't do the sit-ups on the ground like any other normal person, but I figured if I had a machine, ooh, then I'll really do the sit-ups. So I bought a sit-up machine. And this is a really cool sit-up machine because like you can lower and make it the sit-ups harder. Which I can't even hardly do sit-ups, and so I don't even, again, back to my point, why would I buy a sit-up machine? But I thought, ooh, sit-up machine. So I was at Dick's Sporting Goods, and the guy comes up and says a few things about him. Oh, I got to have that right away. You know, so I take the sit-up machine home, and I have used the sit-up machine. I really have. Because you know when you get the sit-up machine, you get pictures of these dudes that come with it that explain like how to use a sit-up machine, and their stomach is so ripped. And since I've been married, I haven't really cared that much about my stomach. But now all of a sudden, I thought, if I could look like that guy. So I started doing sit-ups on my sit-up machine. And I found out, oh, here's the problem with that. You have to use the sit-up machine to get like that. You just don't get it with the machine. So I don't have like a six-pack. I have like a bag of potatoes underneath all this. I mean, but because here's the thing. I own the sit-up machine, I believe in the sit-up machine, but I don't always use the sit-up machine. In fact, right now, it's out on my porch, it's been there for like 3 weeks, I can hardly see it, I'm hoping I forget I own it. Because it's hard to do. But there is a payoff. And he's saying, you can believe in Jesus, but do you obey Jesus? And I'm going to be really clear with you, if you don't, then you won't find the truth. You'll just keep believing. Just like me, oh man, that sit-up machine. I know if I used that thing, it would be awesome. I'll have core strength. But I have to use it. And we have to obey. What is it in your life and you're not obeying? But you believe.